The voice of business in Broome. Kimberley Small Business Support. Here to help small businesses thrive.
For the voice of business this week, I'm joined on the line with Edward Fleming from HFM Legal in town here. Good morning, Edward. How are you?
Good morning, TJ. I'm well. Thanks for asking.
Last time we had you on, might have been probably over a year ago now, Edward. Absolute pleasure to have you back. Under strange circumstances, we can't have you in the studio, unfortunately, but next best thing, on the office line. So HFM Legal, before we do start, what do you guys do?
Yeah, well, we've been in town about 11, 12 years now. We're a general practice law firm. We assist separated families. We do a lot of family law, dealing with the split of property and children. We deal with a lot of estates, so preparation of wills, the administration of estates, and a lot of general commercial work as well. So multifunctional, TJ. We try to provide a good service to the community.
We've got you on this morning to specifically discuss wills. When should people get a will? What can they include in a will? And other documentation considered as part of an estate plan? So we'll start off with, when should people get a will? I mean, I've got an obvious answer for that one, and that's probably any time before you do pass away. But is there like a right time, a specific time?
Oh, it really depends on the circumstances of each case, TJ. So the first thing to consider is you need to be at least 18 to make a valid will in this state. And then it just depends on each individual's particular circumstances. I mean, my view is once you start having responsibilities to look after others, you know, if you get married or you're in a long-term relationship, you have children or any other dependents that are financially dependent on you, in those circumstances it's absolutely essential to have a will. But when you start accumulating assets, that's also a good time to have a will. And people sometimes forget, once you're employed these days, your employer has an obligation to pay your superannuation. And most superannuation funds come with a life insurance policy. So you may be pretty young. You may be 18, 19, 20 and think that you have nothing to dispose of under your will, TJ. But a death benefit consisting of your super and life insurance could end up being many hundreds of thousands of dollars. So always something to consider, having a will.
Yeah, right. I had no idea that being that young and not necessarily having a bunch of assets to your name, that you could actually, someone could benefit in those unfortunate circumstances. Do you find many young people coming in?
No.
No, you
should. Although Broome seems to be a younger population, so many people in their, you know, early 30s are getting wills done. But I think even younger, especially once you have children and once there are people that really depend on you for financial support, it's absolutely essential to have a will.
Now, what are the sort of things that you can include in a will? I mean, the things that come to my mind are property and the money that you have accumulated. So, yeah, what else can be thrown in there?
Yeah, so your will is essentially a legal document permitting you to distribute your assets and your debts upon your death. So the main focus of the will is who's going to get your property upon your death. But other things to include are the executor of your will. So the executor is the person that deals with your funeral arrangements and obtains a death certificate and gathers up your assets and then distributes your estate as set out in the terms of your will. You can have a substitute executor, all the names of the beneficiaries, obviously. Some people like to include specific funeral wishes or intentions within the will. And another factor often overlooked is you can actually appoint a guardian for infant children, a binding guardian within the terms of your will. They're the main things. It's important to include a residuary clause as well within the will, TJ, because, as you know, you can accumulate and lose assets and debts during your lifetime. So a catch-all provision that says anything that I haven't specifically included in my will can go to these particular people, that's always a good idea as well to have in a will.
Yeah, okay, that's that safety net or that just catches the overflow, I guess. Lastly, Edward, what other documents should, say I'm getting my will together, what other documents should I consider as part of my estate plan?
Yeah, so the important documents to consider are obviously your will, then your enduring power of attorney, an enduring power of guardianship, and sometimes a death benefit nomination for a particular super fund. So an enduring power of attorney, your attorney is someone you nominate that can make property and financial decisions on your behalf during your lifetime, but perhaps in circumstances where you're incapacitated or otherwise unable to make decisions as to your finances and property. So it's a really important document. And your guardian is somebody that you can appoint to make medical and lifestyle-based decisions on your behalf in circumstances where you might be unable to make reasonable decisions for yourself. So you could have a car accident, you could be in a coma, you could be under a general anaesthetic. You know, in any circumstances where you are unable to make decisions for yourself, that's what your guardian does. Mm-hmm. So all really important documents. Some people are unaware that superannuation doesn't automatically form part of a person's estate. So some funds permit members to sign what's known as a binding or non-binding death benefit nomination, and that acts as a will for your superannuation, essentially. And that allows members to nominate where that death benefit goes upon the member's death. They're the main things to consider as part of your estate plan.
I would have assumed, like many others, that superannuation is automatically thrown in there. And the difference between power of attorney and being the guardian, the specifics in the differences there are very important.
Yeah, absolutely. So your attorney is solely related to making property and financial-based decisions on your behalf, and you can appoint an attorney to act at any stage. So your attorney can make those decisions while you're perfectly capable to make your own decisions, or only in circumstances where you may be unable to make your decisions. It's a fiduciary position, so a position of absolute trust. You want to trust that person very dearly, yep. Who you nominate to be your attorney. Mm-hmm. And your guardian can only make decisions when you are incapacitated, so if you're unable to make reasonable decisions for yourself. Your attorney makes decisions during your lifetime.
Whilst you're still alive.
While you're alive.
Okay.
And then your will comes into effect upon your death. So mm-hmm. it's very common to have an attorney and an executor of your will who is the same person, but obviously the attorney only operates during your lifetime, and then the will comes into effect upon your death.
Okay, rightio. Yep, so executor, power of attorney, and the guardian. I think I've got it all nailed now. If anyone had any questions, Edward, they want to get in contact with you, they want to get in contact with HFM Legal, what is the best way for people to do that?
Yeah, in Broome, our best contact number is 9193 5915, or you can send us an email at hfmbroome@hfmlegal.com.au, or just check out our website. It has a lot of information on it and makes it easy to get in touch with us.
Edward Fleming from HFM Legal, thank you very much for joining us this morning and chatting about when should people get a will, what to include in it, and other documentations to consider as part of the estate. Thank you again for joining us for this morning's Voice of Business.
Thanks for having me, TJ.